Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here. Former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Tribune, Paul Osborne, in on a very cold morning, day two of this. Where would you stack this in, you know, sort of weather-related events in the Decatur community? I don't recall the mail not going out. You know, institutions, you know, City of Decatur, Macon County buildings, the animal shelter, the health department, the courts. I mean, it's rare that all of that shuts down for a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't ever remember it shutting down for 2 days in the case of, no mail delivery. And I think it also depends on, are you talking about extreme cold or snow and ice?
Just weather in general.
Yeah, I don't ever remember this cold of weather in Decatur. I really don't. I mean, and of course, when you put a newspaper out, you hope you're going to have bad weather. It's going to be on the weekend away from when it's coming out. So we did deliver all of our papers to the post office and the newsstands. But if there's no mail delivery today, please don't call and say, where's my paper?
Yeah, there's no mail delivery. We heard from St. Louis or wherever the region is that covers, you know, our area, and our zip codes were in that. So there will be no mail delivery today. So you'll get your Tribune. You can also go to DecaturTribune.com. Relax, folks. It's available in the digital space. But I think about, like, the big weather events, you know, over the years. Clearly, there was the ice storm in the 1970s that was a big deal. There were the back-to-back tornadoes in 96, that really rocked the community. There was the ice storm of the 2000s that literally people were without power for days and days. I was really surprised and impressed. We were kind of monitoring Ameren yesterday and outages just to make sure that there wasn't. I know in Minneapolis they had some problems. I mean, these were dangerous conditions. I mean, this isn't sort of an inconvenience. Like, people could lose their lives.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the last big ice storm that we had, in fact, I happened to be mayor at the time, and, I think Ameren rebuilt so much of their territory, and probably that's coming into play now that.
And they have been the last number of years. Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago they were redoing all the stuff on 36, and they switched their schedule so that it wouldn't interfere with our food drive. They've been investing in a lot of that, and I think it paid off because we did not have the outages that other people suffered in the Midwest.
That's right, and with the high winds that we had, too, it would have blown probably the old lines down.
Yeah.
And so... I think we're very fortunate that Ameren has really invested heavily in kind of reconstructing the whole system. And I think, as you say, it's paid off. But the last thing you want to lose at this point is electricity during this cold weather.
Yeah, and it's cold today, but it's not nearly as bad because we don't have that wind that we had over the last 48 hours, which just makes it unbearable and really, really dangerous.
Yeah, and dangerous really is the key word that it's, you're out very long in this stuff. You know, you can have a heart attack or whatever, all that cold air.
Yeah, I think in Wisconsin, they found a dead guy frozen in his garage with a snow shovel, and I don't know if he had a heart attack or what, but you go down for a couple of minutes and that could be all that's it.
Yeah. And if no one happens to see you, if you slip and fall, I mean, you're just pretty much gone.
Well, and we didn't get the snow, which they got up Chicago and north of that ahead of time, which makes it, even worse. We had pretty dry conditions here. Now, I know, Lindsay, we got like a 30% chance for some snow coming later this afternoon, but not a lot in the way of accumulation.
No.
And then we're looking at 40s and 50s, which, man. That's going to be like break out the swim trunks.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen really weather just go from one extreme to the other as it has this year. I mean, you go
tornadoes at Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. You go from 50 in the morning to 20 or 10, in the evening in one day. It's a matter of hours. So I think overall, I think people in the Midwest have kind of learned to adjust to this. I think we were more fortunate than, as you mentioned, the people north of us, who also had snow to deal with in addition to
so they had different
weather.
Road conditions and all
that's
that. I can't even imagine trying to dig your way out, with 30, 40 mile an hour winds and, negative 49 feels like temperatures. That has to be horrible. So kudos again, though, to all the people that are out there, people that are in trucks and your garbage guys, your first responders, anybody that has to be out, law enforcement. I mean, it's just We got nothing but great thoughts for you, and hopefully get home and get warm and be with your family. It's just a miserable time to be outside right now. All right, so we've got a local election. I'm always a little surprised that there's not more noise around the local election. I read a story yesterday that said that the lack or the disappearing of newspapers, meaning so many have kind of shuttered their doors, has led to sort of the polarization of politics in this country. And they looked at communities that didn't have a daily or weekly newspaper versus communities that did, and how straight ticket voting has increased because people are just sort of, even with local elections, just sort of doing partisan politics because they're getting all of their news from like cable TV or social media. I don't know if that's true or not. But I am surprised that it seems like fewer people today pay attention to school boards and council and mayor races than they used to.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. And
there's
less noise around it.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of newspapers fold in communities of, what, something like 1,500?
Yeah, since like 2004 or something like that.
Yeah, and that is really a lot. And I think any community that does not have their newspaper as they did for 100 years or 150 years, I think when you start looking at other means of media, Facebook and things like that, you get a lot of misinformation, a lot of opinions. I think radio, is highly respected. I think shows, like this show here, where you bring candidates in.
Not to say newspaper is the only way you get your news, but I do think there's less local. I mean, there's fewer reporters. There's it's just not the same as it was when I started doing this in 1996. And clearly, when you go back, through your history, newsrooms are cut down. There's not the amount of people to cover. It's not an excuse. It's a reality. So we do spend a lot of time in the show offering these candidates airtime because I do think it's important because I think what they do impacts you much more than anything Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi does.
And I think there's been a change for the most part in candidates, too. When they run, I think, in making themselves available, I'm seeing a little bit of that now with the city council race of people contacting me or holding fundraisers and saying, I want to talk, I want to get out there. That's not really as great as it once was, where it seemed like for months ahead of time, those candidates were all over the place, and you would interview them maybe three or four times.
Yeah, I know, and we will be doing that soon. But I told Lindsay earlier last hour, we had Reagan Lewis in last week as part of our education spotlight, and her law firm is involved in stuff with the foundation, and that's what she was here to talk about. But she's also one of these candidates for school board. And this was a handwritten thank you note for just letting her be on the show. That's old fashioned. That's old school. People just don't do this anymore.
That's right.
And she'll probably win. Based on this, I am predicting she wins a seat on the school board.
Well, yeah, and I think that it means a lot. You don't do it for that reason, but when you hear back from someone that you've taken the time to talk to, and really the benefit is for them and getting the word out, and they take the time to send you a handwritten note.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen very often.
It's just like when you get that, you think, yeah, that's good.
Well, we have important things to do with our school district, with our city, with, and I know that it's not ever going to be as big and sexy as a presidential election, but I do, in my heart, believe it is equally important, if not more important, than what happens on the national stage.
Well, it affects you. It affects you financially and more directly in the taxes that you pay locally.
These are the people in charge of the police showing up at your door, the fire department showing up at your house, the potholes you either run into or don't, your garbage, water supply. I mean, everything in your day-to-day life, these are the folks in charge of it, including the education of your children.
That's right. And if you want candidates coming in, new candidates who may increase your taxes in that, you need to find out about anyone who's running. You need to find out the record of the incumbents. What have they done? Have they raised taxes? What have they done since they were serving in office? So I think when you look at it, I always did, that is kind of where the rubber hits the road, where you have some control over the people who govern you.
Yeah, there's a mini, I don't even know if I could call it controversy. We have all these, we had this with the mayor's race and Kara DeMersion-Haas, who was not put on the ballot because of not turning in a receipt. I was given copies last week of one of the school board candidates who had filed and when asked about financial disclosure, put NA on all of the questions, yet she made double-digit thousands as a substitute teacher from the school district, but yet didn't declare any of that on her paperwork. And I'm wondering, my understanding is somebody has to challenge that, but, you know, these fickle rules about who can run. I mean, no one was saying that Kara DeMersion-Haas had a conflict of interest. She just didn't turn in the receipt of the paperwork she had already turned in. Now it appears that we have a candidate who's turned in paperwork that isn't accurate as far as did they benefit financially from the institution they're running for, and clearly she did as a substitute teacher. And I don't know that if any of the candidates are going to do anything about this. I Lindsay, make a note to call Josh and see about having him come in. Is it different for the school board? I mean, with the city council, I mean, you go to the city clerk, you got to turn in paperwork. What happens from the school board level? I mean, do they have to turn anything into the county, or is it a different type of thing?
I don't know. You probably have to, Josh, I know that a lot of the information that's come out of the county clerk's office has been related to the school district and that. But really, on the school district, I'm not really quite sure.
I'm not either. But is there sort of a person that they have to go through with District 61 the way they have to go through the city of Decatur when turning in stuff? Well, and still deal with the county, because the county's the one that runs the election.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think so, too.
Otherwise, why hand them in?
Yeah.
If no one's going to check them or see that they're turned in. And I certainly know it's true with the park district. I mean, I think you have to file them with the park district.
Yes. So I'm assuming it has to go through District 61. Then I'm assuming that, I don't know what the check process is. You know what I mean? If somebody's filled out a form that is inaccurate saying that you didn't benefit financially from any sort of relationship with the institution, and clearly you have, I don't know what that means as far as a disqualification or if that has to be challenged. Often in elections, it's weird, and that was sort of my argument about Kara DeMersion-Haas. Yeah, they screwed up. They should have followed the rules. They inadvertently didn't, and so it's kind of bad for her fan base and the people that followed her. But what's the process if you've really not done something right as far as does it have to be another candidate that challenges it?
I think in some cases, if you don't have enough valid signatures.
But why isn't that the clerk's responsibility rather than another candidate?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's just kind of the way it is. I think the clerk just checks to see if the paperwork you have filed is correct. But I think we had that situation, several years ago. When Steve Daniels was challenging the signatures and everyone almost on there, and a few people got thrown off of taken off of the ballot
because of
that.
I remember I was on the witness list because they were challenging my signature, which was just, and then they didn't end up calling me, so I didn't have to go. But it was just, you can be really silly about this stuff. But clearly, if you're running for school board and you were a substitute teacher and made a, not, I mean, they didn't make $60,000, but it was over 10, you know, that you would, why would you put in a, you know, as far as your financial relationship?
Yeah, I would think you would list, what you'd made or where you had made it.
Yeah, and in fact, I think even on the form, it says over this amount. I mean, there's a limit. I mean, Seth, the guy who ran against Andy Menard.
McMillan.
Find out about, I remember when he had like gotten paid for lawn services or whatever in his school district, they tried to make a big deal out of
this. He had donated some of it and then did like, or he had done it at cost or something like that and didn't realize. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. This stuff, I hate arguing over the minutiae, you know, but the rules are the rules. I mean, if you know, Kara can't be on the ballot, then, you know, why would somebody who isn't honest about it, I'm not going to say honest about it, that sounds, I don't know what the motivation is, but they clearly didn't put that in their information.
Or maybe you misunderstood it or something.
That could be,
who knows? I don't know. But there is a certain length of time, too. And I think Kara, you know, found this out where you need to correct that. And I think the argument was, should she have been notified during that 30-day period?
Let's do this. Let's get Josh in tomorrow morning or get him on the phone tomorrow morning, and we'll get those questions answered. And, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm not. I'd like to meet all the people that are running and find out what their motivation is and see what why they want to be school board members, why they want to be city council members, why they want to be mayor. It'll be interesting to see what kind of tack do you think David Horn will take? You know, he kind of shies away from us now, which I understand, you know, you got a couple of candidates that I'm not even sure will come in and do this show that are running for mayor.
Yeah, if you're running for mayor, if you're running for any office, you ought to be willing to go anywhere to explain your position. If you can't, there's something wrong there. It's about letting the people know what you're about. And if you don't want to let the people know, except only with certain people, you'll let the people know, then I think that's a disservice. And
it generally doesn't work. I mean, there's times like Sue Scheer was, you know, who her district is drawn to, and it's almost impossible for her to lose, right? And they haven't had a real serious candidate against her. So she's going to do it, and I understand. But if you're going to run for mayor, I mean, even as contentious of a relationship as I have with John Phillips, he still came in and did the show, and which I respect, and gave him equal time to share his opinions. We'll see. And maybe David Horn will. And I'm not sure about the other guy who's running. I know he's referred to me as things on social media. I've never met the guy. I don't have any idea what he's like. But do you find it odd that you want to be mayor, but you've not met the guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I do find that odd, and I guess I think, and it goes back to what we've talked about so many times, are you a serious candidate?
Yeah.
Or you're someone that just says, well, I'll try to be mayor. And I've had people, even when I was mayor, I think I told that example once, I went into a place and said, guy asked me, how much does the job of mayor pay? And said, I think I'd like to try to be mayor. Oh, yeah, you're a good guy.
Jump right in. Yeah.
Well, we need you.
The water's fine. Come on in. Yeah. There is some of that out there. And I'm not questioning this individual. I don't know. I'm just saying there's I know what Kara Demersian Huss did and her run up to running for mayor. I had a 45-minute conversation with her on the way to Chicago for an event, about her thoughts and ideas. And she had been talking to me for a couple of years, before announcing. And, of course, Julie, there's just a way to do this and a way not to do it. And so many people do it in a vacuum.
Well, I think that, Kara's a perfect example that, I was here on your show when she announced. And so as she was leaving, I said, do you have a press release or something you can send me? She said, it's on its way right now.
Yeah.
I mean, she was on top of this as far as being a serious candidate.
And it raised $50,000.
Yeah. So I think that's what you look for, someone who's demonstrated, not only now, but in the past, that I have an interest in this community and moving this community ahead.
Absolutely. And that doesn't mean you don't welcome new people to the table. I think one of the most misunderstood things about this, what I generally dislike are these, I'm mad about something, so I'm going to be a candidate, guys or gals. And so you haven't been involved or you really haven't done a lot. And Steve Daniels is a perfect example of this. I mean, I don't recall him doing anything except running for mayor, telling everybody else how they should run this city, and then as soon as he left for Colorado. You got no commitment to this community, and people knew that.
Well, I think that's the reason, I'm a little skeptical of people that suddenly show up and run for office when they really haven't contributed much to the community before that. To me, that is part of it's just a progressive part of that. And then after they serve in office, they're still active in the community.
Yeah.
And serving as a city council member or a mayor or a school board, that's just part of your service. That's just one part of it. You still believe in the community.
Yeah. But we get more and more of that, I guess. And then I think the advent of social media, we were talking about this earlier, just because you have a Facebook page doesn't mean that you're getting out to I don't understand people's priorities about messaging. I mean, we can show you scientifically how many people are listening to this program right now, or you can go talk to the 98 people you have on Facebook. It doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. And I think people, I guess, because they now feel they have control or a voice.
And
they,
you do if you're AOC or Donald Trump. David Horn, you don't. You can make YouTube videos till the cows come home, but if no one's watching them, it doesn't translate to votes.
Well, you mentioned David Horn earlier. I do know that I received a press release that he's having a couple conversations with the candidate, that he's kind of reaching out and trying to explain his position. I think that's probably going to be his tactic to meet with groups.
Is that recent?
It's coming up. There are two in February.
I don't think he sent that to us. So, did you remember seeing any of that? I don't either. So, he's clearly, I don't think I'm unfair to Councilman Horn. I think I had suspicions about him when he was running for office and would not publicly state where he was on our city manager. He just would dodge the question and would not answer it. And it left me with doubts about what his motives were. And since he's been on the council, we'll get into all the emails and all of that as we get closer to the election. That doesn't mean he's not welcome to come in here and he has as much time as he wants to explain himself. I just think that people that want to dodge questions and hide from interviews aren't being completely honest with the people they're asking to vote for them.
Well, I think you have to focus on what really matters to the people of Decatur. And sometimes you're focusing on an issue that a lot of the people that cater could care less about or couldn't care less about.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe in David's case, as, at least as I see it, and as I understand,
he does seem to be out of step with a large chunk of the population and a lot of the city council.
Well, it does, yeah, and it doesn't mean that maybe the issues he brings up aren't right issues, but I'm not sure
that it's everyone's priority.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to run for an office like that, you need to touch on those issues that go to the heart of what people are really thinking about and concerned about in their community. And, you know, about taxes, about the roads, about things that they see and that they touch. And I think a candidate, even though you may believe a lot of these things, what you really need to push out there is, this is what I've done in the 2 years that I've been on city council. This is what I expect to do. And this is the reason I'm running for mayor, and address those major issues, how you feel about them.
All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be back. City Hall Insider, always interesting. Paul Osborne in the studios. Here's Lindsay with your three-day forecast. You're going to not like today, but the next two
it's
days,
not that bad.
Pretty good.
We've got a 40% chance of seeing some snow after 3 p.m. Increased clouds, highs around 15. For tonight, chance of snow, could see some freezing rain as well. Lows around 15. Then Friday, partly sunny, highs near 36. Saturday, partly cloudy, highs around 47 degrees. It is minus 6 degrees right now in downtown Decatur.
What if the kid who cut your grass worked like most financial advisors? Instead of a straight-up $20, you'd get some confusing bill with surcharges and add-ons. What the heck is a blade height adjustment fee? Creative planning is different. Our fiduciary advisors work off one transparent fee structure, and we never receive commissions on your investments. Dial 866-440-1006 for a free, no-obligation consultation with Creative Planning. Investment strategies recommended by Creative Planning are not assured of earning a profit or avoiding a loss in declining markets.
At Planet Fitness, you can get down with your judgment-free self. Now extended through January 31st. You can join for only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Planet Fitness has cardio, weights, and locker rooms that sparkle like a glass of New Year's champagne. Only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Join in-club or online at planetfitness.com. Planet Fitness, the judgment-free zone.
5 area locations. Stop in and see us today.
Annual membership fee applies. Participating locations only. See club for details.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We're back here on a Thursday. City Hall Insider Paul Osborne in the studios, coming up with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. A little later today, we'll be checking in with Sue Powell from the Decatur Area Arts Council. And our gift of the day for Valentine's Day starts today. We'll be taking a trip to Coney McCain's. So we've got school board, we've got city council, we've got the mayoral race. We don't have a primary, which is a good thing, because you can waste a lot of money that Josh doesn't have on those primaries, on candidates that are not serious candidates. I was happy to see that. I like choices, but you can get silly with it.
Yeah, you can have a choice of silliness that you're not going to vote for that person, and yet you're going to pay a lot of money, taxpayer money, to have a primary to get rid of maybe one person.
Yeah, or a couple of people that aren't even serious candidates. Yeah. So I'm glad it worked out the way it did. But we do have an important vote ahead. I think the mayor is a crucial office. I know that they're just one vote at the end of the day on the council, but they drive the agenda. They're the face of the community. That is a very, very important office. And you've got, three choices. You've got choices on council. You've got District 61, which made a lot of noise last time because of some unpopular moves. And those people were voted out. And now it's been sort of quiet. I think quiet meaning like it's a good thing. And now you got some new faces popping up there. So we'll be interviewing all these candidates in the weeks to come, giving you all of the information you need to vote. Topper's up next. Here comes news.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. The Arctic cold blasting the nation's midsection is snarling travel. More than 2,000 flights across the country canceled.
Amtrak has canceled service in and out of Chicago. Yesterday, they were lighting the rails on fire to keep them from shrinking and shearing off the bolts.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Chicago. Wintry weather blamed for at least 8 deaths across the region. Trade talks continue in D.C. between U.S. and Chinese officials. Fox's Maria Bartiromo.
The president tweeting about it this morning, saying this: I will be meeting with their top leaders and representatives today in the Oval Office. No final deal will be made until my friend President Xi and I meet in the near future to discuss and agree on some of the long-standing and more difficult points.
The Chinese president is hosting the Emir of Qatar in Beijing, and suspected drug lord El Chapo's defense team expected to give closing arguments today. This is Fox News.
Hi, this is Fred. Leave me a message.
Hey, sweetie, I know you wanted to try selling our house on our own, but I've been doing some research, and I think we should call Brink Otter. They'll save us time and money. Did you know that people who for sale by owner on average make 18.5% less on the sale of their home than if they would have sold with a realtor? And honey, think of all the work we won't have to do. There's the listing, how to prep our home for showings, marketing, promoting it on the internet and social media, fielding questions from scads of inquiries, 95% of which aren't even ready to buy a home. Then there's the open houses, follow-ups to interested buyers. And then if we're lucky enough to get this far, the negotiations with the buyer, buyer's agent, home inspection company, termite company, buyer's lender, the appraiser, the title company, the buyer's buyer, making sure we have all the legal paperwork done right. And then if that interested buyer backs out, we start all over again. So honey, I hope you're okay. I called Brink Otter and we meet with our agent tonight. Have a great day, babe.
Lean on Brink Otter's 50 years of selling experience.
Don't spin your wheels.
Get your home sold. Meet our agents today at BrinkOtter.com.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt & Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-2226.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we've got a 40% chance we could see some snow showers later this afternoon, increasing clouds and highs near 15. For tonight, a chance of snow, maybe some freezing rain overnight, cloudy skies with lows around 15 degrees. Then for your Friday, partly sunny highs near 36. Saturday, mostly cloudy highs near 47. It is minus 5 degrees right now in downtown Decatur.
Tougher on Sports on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper, Tupper on Sports. All right, Illini basketball.
Well, we were talking yesterday about how differently Minnesota plays when they're at home as opposed to when they are on the road. And there's several things I know to be true about the Gophers, and all of them were on display last night, exactly 2 weeks after Minnesota lost by 27 points to the Illini in Champaign. Minnesota shoots the ball better when they play at home. They play faster when they're at home. They play with a different kind of swagger when they're at home, and they get to the free throw line a lot more whenever they play at home. And that's the Minnesota team Illinois ran into last night, losing 86-75 in Minneapolis. Illinois weathered all of that for the first half, led by two at halftime, and even early in the second half. But then Minnesota hit four threes in a stretch that resulted in a 13-1 run, and then they had another 12-0 run. Well, that's 25-1 in those two runs combined. So playing two strong halves has been a major issue for Illinois this season. You know, this was the ninth time in their 15 losses that they've held the lead in the second half, but finishing the job has been a problem. I thought Minnesota had great balance last night, and you notice it when you really don't know where the points are going to come from. This guy's hitting, but they had about four guys who were all pretty hot. That was definitely not the case with the Illini. Trent Frazier was sensational last night. This was the aggressive, confident Trent Frazier I have not always seen this season. And in as good as he was, he scored 30 last night, two off of his career high. It's kind of a head scratcher. Why don't we see some version of that every night out? I know he's not going to score 30 every night out, but when he's aggressive, he's a handful. And I mean, honestly, I had kind of forgotten how good he can be until you watched him last night. But after him, it was a chore to get baskets. Io Desumu had just 6 points, was not aggressive. Georgie Bishanashvili, I think, struggled with their size inside. He had 9 points. The only other Illini players in double figures were Andres Feliz with 11 and Tevian Jones with 10. On the bright side, I loved the way Tevian Jones played last night, and his shot was awful. But you learn a lot about a player when you see how do they play on a night when they're not shooting the ball well, because a lot of guys drop their shoulders. They don't get back on defense. They don't do a lot of the other things. They let their offense dictate their play. all over the court. He did not do that. He was flying around. You really realize how fast he is in the open court. He got back on defense. He made the plays he could and really scrambled to create those 10 points. Illinois had a chance last night, but not without a much sharper second half, and they did not have that. I think I like their chances to win Saturday at home against Nebraska. Nebraska has now lost one of their best players, Isaac Copeland, to a torn ACL, so he won't be out there. But Minnesota last night certainly got their revenge for what happened 2 weeks ago.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about Roger Goodell with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
At Planet Fitness, you can get down with your judgment-free self. Now extended through January 31st. You can join for only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Planet Fitness has cardio, weights, and locker rooms that sparkle like a glass of New Year's champagne. Only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Join in-club or online at planetfitness.com. Planet Fitness, the judgment-free zone.
5 area locations. Stop in and see us today.
Annual membership fee applies. Participating locations only. See club for details.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, Mr. Goodell.
Well, yesterday in Atlanta was the NFL commissioner and his chance to face the media, and they heaved question after question at the commish. A lot of those had to do with the no call in the NFC title game, the one that has been so difficult for the New Orleans Saints and their fans to swallow, and really for a lot of football fans. You just hate it when there's something that egregious that happens that makes you think that it affected the outcome of the game. It was a horrible missed call at a key juncture in that game. But even though Roger Goodell can be annoying, and even though he ducked a lot of the questions thrown at him yesterday, he was right about many of the things on that issue. First of all, there was no way the commissioner was going to use some kind of nuclear option and have that portion of the game replayed post-haste. And yet I think the NFL was in court yesterday defending that. People brought lawsuits. That wasn't going to happen. That I don't think that will ever happen. Number two, this was a judgment call, and there is no avenue to overturn judgment calls. You know, everybody was like, why can't they review everything? Why can't they review that and overturn it? Well, the majority of owners and coaches, Goodell reminded us, have not wanted that. They have been reluctant to go down that path. I talked about the unintended consequences that can come when you start doing that. However, I think there's a proposal on the table, and it'll get talked about this offseason, to allow a limited number of coaches' challenges of incorrect judgment calls. And there would be a penalty against the coach who challenges if he's wrong. And I don't know where it will go with that. And, I think there's a lot of things that'll get talked about in the offseason. Number three, and this was important when he reminded, this wasn't a call. It was a non-call. And the league, with the support of owners and coaches, has not wanted someone in New York to be able to throw flags when no flag was thrown. And I don't think that will change. Sometimes there are mistakes that are both regretful and irreversible. It happens all the time with coaches and players. They make mistakes, but we lose our minds when it happens with an official, and particularly when it happens to our team. That play will allow the league to revisit the current rules and allow owners and coaches to talk about whether there needs to be changes and what the repercussions could be of all that. I thought Roger Goodell yesterday was not real direct on a number of subjects, the promotion of minority coaches, player discipline, what's going to happen with Oakland. They don't really have a place to play next year before they go to Vegas in 2020. But he was at his best, I thought, on this subject. I thought he was right about a lot of things. Sport Talk tonight from 5 to 7 with Tim Kaine. We're going to have our big game pick'em contest. You can give us a call and let us know who you think will win the game, what the final score. I don't remember the prize. I think you get an 8x10 autograph of Tim Kaine or something like that.
There's the value. All right, my friend. See you tonight at 5 o'clock. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. We'll take a quick break. Back with the City Hall insider Paul Osborne. The unions have made their endorsements in this upcoming race. We'll go over that with him. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Because farm is in our name, you know we're animal experts, especially when it comes to your pets. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we carry an unbeatable selection of superior pet food, supplies, and more. Right now, Blaine's Farm and Fleet, during the Big Pet Care Sale, save $12 on big bags of Canada All Life Stages dog food and pure dog food. It's pet food made by pet people. Assorted 25-pound bags of Nutro Max dog food are $4 off. Plus, Nylabone Natural Healthy Edibles dog treats are buy one, get one free. For your feline friends, select Frisky's Party Mix cat treats are 4 for $5. And a 28-pound box of Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal cat litter is now just $11.99. Trust the animal experts at Blaine's Farm & Fleet. Stock up on the big bags you need and leave the heavy lifting to us. Use our drive-thru. Simply drive up, place your order, and we'll have you loaded up and on your way in no time. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm & Fleet.
It's time to turn heads in a Toyota. Turn up your style in the Toyota Corolla hatchback. With a sleek exterior and sporty interior, it's a real head turner. Turn up your comfort in the Toyota Highlander. With up to 8 available seats, you can seat the entire family with space to spare. And with a large cargo area, you can easily carry all your family stuff too. Turn up your traction in the Toyota RAV4. Head out on the road in this adventurous SUV. The RAV4 boasts available all-wheel drive, so when the pavement ends, your journey begins. Turn up your adrenaline in the Toyota Tacoma. Head out on the trail and take on the outdoors in the exciting and robust Tacoma. This winter, turn heads in a Toyota. Get 1.9% APR financing for 60 months on a new 2019 Highlander. Visit your local Toyota dealer or buyatoyota.com to find yours. Toyota, let's go places.
1.9% APR financing for 60 months with $1,748,000 borrowed on approved credit from Toyota Financial Services. Call 1-800-79-TOYOTA for details. Does not include taxes, license, title registration fees, and dealer fees. Does not include college, grad, or military. Rebate varies by region. See dealer for details. Offers end 2/4/19.
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday, the 31st of January, finally getting into February and Valentine's Day gift of the day coming up in a little bit. Starting today, Coney McCain's will be the gift, so you can check out Now Decatur's Facebook page to watch for that. About 8:40 this morning, we'll start the contest. All right, the unions came out with their endorsement of the mayor's race and the city council candidate race. Basically, they have representatives from all of the trades that get together. There's, I think, a questionnaire that's sent out, and then they make their endorsement based on the answers in that questionnaire. Is that how you understand it?
Well, I think at least when I was interviewed, there was a questionnaire, and then they, at that time, and I assume it's still, they meet with each candidate and talk with them, and I don't know if they still do that. According to the press release that I received, they did meet together, I think, on January 24th, and I don't know if the candidates came in then one by one or what, but they make a decision, and you can kind of understand that based on what the candidate's attitude would be towards any kind of thing that would affect the unions.
All right, so let me do this, Lindsay. While you're booking Josh for the show tomorrow, Can you ask Amy Ruff for a copy of the questionnaire that was sent
sure.
to the candidates?
Yeah.
I'd be curious. I don't know what the questions are, responsible bidder. You think of other things. I mean, I don't know. You were asked, I think, if my memory serves me, that would you fire Steve Garmon was one of the questions.
And I said, absolutely. No, I didn't. So, no, I just explained that, you know, I didn't want to run on the basis of firing someone that I never even worked with.
Yeah.
That. And I did make a commitment that I'll always be willing to listen to you. And certainly before I left office, we were having quarterly meetings where the union leaders would come in and we'd sit down at the table and we'd just talk about the things that and there were things that I learned that I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
and I always explained to them, this is my position. Now, why is that position wrong? Why
yeah.
don't you agree with this position? And I enjoyed those. I think it developed a better relationship And letting them know where I stood and where they stood.
Yeah, it's absolutely certainly their right to look after the issues that they care about, and that's what the democracy is all about. I don't know what endorsements mean today in 2019 versus the way they used to. My gut is that there was a lot more money involved in past. I'm sure there'll be money involved now, but there's yard signs, there's volunteer efforts. There are things that they certainly bring to the table that'll help a candidate. Now, my hypothesis on this particular endorsement of Julie Moore for mayor is it's a net positive for her. It could have worked a different way, maybe if Carrie DeMersion Hasse were still in the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not being in the race, it sort of takes the progressive thing David Horn's trying to do, some of the air out of that.
Yeah, and I think that made a big difference. I think we were looking at a pretty hotly contested debate on the mayor's office and that when you had a challenging candidate like Kara, who certainly would bring the issues forth. She was already doing that in interview with you and certainly
I think as a business owner though, and I don't want the mayor's race to be partisan, but you know, if you're looking at just sort of different demographics, you know, she comes in and she's got a lot of support of business owners and people that are maybe not pro-union or lined up with the union point of view. It could have turned into one of those races where it felt like Republican versus Democrat. And I had a lot of Republican people that I know that were very keen on Kara's interest in being mayor. I don't want it to be a partisan race. But now when you've got what's perceived to be in Julie kind of a centrist sort of Democrat versus David Horn, who's way more progressive, the fact that the unions went with her is a net positive for her.
Yeah, and I think the unions have always been pretty supportive of her along the way, and probably because of her, politically, her Democrat leanings, and the fact, even though that should not enter in the picture,
no,
in a nonpartisan,
but I think that there's a potential that every time she's seen with Dick Durbin, that's not necessarily a positive for her.
Yeah,
with a lot of people. Some it is.
Yeah. And I'm sensitive to that, too. I think you have to be in the mayor's position available to everybody. And I was pretty sensitive when you had some of these candidates from Chicago, Democrat and Republican, coming down to the mayor's office and then wanting to have a picture taken with you. And in most cases, unless they caught me off guard, like climbing out of a car or something, I said, no, I really shouldn't do that because the mayor's office is nonpartisan. I'm happy to meet you and talk with you.
Yeah.
But that just looks like an endorsement. And they would write it up as that way. We really appreciate the endorsement of Mayor so-and-so of Decatur. We visited with him today. And that really wasn't the case.
No, that certainly happens. All right. So they did also, I'd like to see the questions on the questionnaire before I know. But if it was solely based on that, I guess that explains why they endorsed more candidates than there are offices for.
Well, they indicated that the candidates they endorsed scored 100% on, I guess, what they asked them or the questionnaire. So if you have four candidates for city council and three seats up, if all of them score 100%, then you should endorse all of them then, because all of them then, you liked what all of them said and what all of them wrote and their responses. So,
and this is the interesting thing to me, because I'm trying to stack up. Why in the world? I mean, I don't think you could get more diametrically opposed as the council as Bill Faber and Julie Moore.
Yeah, and the unions have always endorsed Bill Faber.
And I'm not quite sure why. And he has an interesting column in the Tribune today, his paid advertisement, where he not only suggested we can't raise taxes, even though he's been the guy who has consistently, I mean, he wanted to tax people for working Indicator.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Remember that, yeah.
Yeah. He says we can't raise taxes. He's talking about the new city manager. And he's also talking about 30 years worth of demographic shifts and the change in manufacturing, as if the city manager is to blame or can cure all of that. But he made a suggestion that I can't believe there's a single Democrat or union member that's in favor of consolidation of government. That's his suggestion today. I think it's a great idea. It'll never happen because it's Illinois, and Illinois is run by Democrats that will never let this happen. But it's the first thing Bill Faber said in a long time that actually makes sense.
Yeah, I agreed with that, and I think I even pointed out in my column that that actually does make sense from the standpoint that you're reducing the cost of government, you're eliminating a lot of triplicate in services, too.
If you go over to our neighbors in Indiana, they look at us like we are crazy. I mean, we have like 900 school districts in the state of Illinois. I have said for years that if you had a Macon County North and a Macon County South and Macon County East and West, and you had four high schools that took up, you know, all of Macon County, if you consolidated Forsyth, Mount Zion, but there, you know who's not ever going to be in favor of that? Forsyth, Mount Zion. Yeah. It'll never happen.
Well, that's the reason. I think it is it's a great idea, and it's certainly a great business idea that we see happening all the time in business, consolidating resources. And I think when that happens, you have to look at government and say, why don't we do that? It's because those who hold those offices, those who have that turf that's theirs, they're
not going to
get it
up. Township official, every, you know, it's crazy, the layers. He's right. And it would be a tremendous benefit to the taxpayers. But you have such an effort it is just for like two school districts to combine. I mean, can you imagine the people in Moroa Forsyth, and I will use them as a specific example just based on trying to put a skate park there, what they would say if we were shipping Decatur kids there?
Yeah, it just, well, you're right. The idea, I have no disagreement with it. I agree with the concept of that. It has worked in some other communities. But in Illinois, that's talk that you usually don't hear because people say that's hopeless. You're talking about something that will not happen.
No, but the same people that endorsed him, the same people that are his party, are the people that are running the state, are the ones that are never going to allow it to happen.
Yeah, that's what's surprising, and I guess it shows you that Bill kind of speaks like Bill believes.
He does, but once again, though, he's spending a bunch of argument time on something that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and I think when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, Bill, but it's good luck on that ever happening.
And first of all, how in the world is the city manager going to make that happen?
Yeah, well, I don't know. When I read the column, I thought, you know, he talked about the city manager, but I thought this was just a principle he put out there overall, that we need to consolidate and become more efficient that
way. Well, he sits there and he talks about austerity and the options of the city manager, and then the question is what to do. To me, that says, okay, here's what we ought to do. Good luck. The city manager's got a whole lot on his plate with that company. Now you're in charge of consolidating all of Macon County.
Well, that would not be the city manager's job anyway. Yeah. The concept is right, but implementation of that,
it'll never happen.
Yeah, and plus the city manager is not.
How do you think the politicians take care of all their cronies? It's because you got all these layer of governments. If you look at the county board and then you look at the township and you look at the party politics, you see all these people that are getting paid in all these different ways, and then you multiply that by every county in the state of Illinois. This is how the system works.
Well, I think we have more government entities in Illinois, than any state in the union, I think.
If not, we're top five, top three, for sure.
Chicago alone probably has.
And that's how they take care of each other.
Yeah, and I think the argument against it many times is, at least that I've heard, is if we have, all
less representation.
Yeah, and people are served better when people are closer to them.
Then that argument would mean the aldermanic form of, and I don't buy that either. Philosophically, I would agree with Bill Faber on this particular issue 1,000%, that consolidation of government in Illinois would be a wonderful thing. But it is just like his minimum wage, just like his taxation of people coming to Decatur to work. They're all ideas that are in the ether. And there's not three other council members, let alone an entire county, that's going to jump on his bandwagon. So put it in a column you pay for in the Tribune, great. But if you're wasting any time actually trying to do this, it's a fool's errand.
Well, the minimum wage thing, too, is being taken up in Springfield. What, you have a senator that's going to introduce the $15?
It'll never go anywhere.
Yeah, and spread it out over whatever. So I don't know. There are ideas that I see and that I read, not only here, in other places. I think, I'm old enough to know that is a good idea. But listen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just not. I mean, we can't even deal with the money we're spending now in Springfield. How could you expect responsible people or irresponsible people to come up with a plan to make government more efficient?
And I don't understand the minimum wage argument that Bill Faber makes, that by falsely inflating the minimum wage, you're going to improve people's lives to where they can live lives of affordability. Minimum wage wasn't built for you to raise a family on.
It's entry level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. When you're getting started.
Just falsely inflating that number to something you think sounds better isn't going to improve the quality of anyone's life. And then what about the people that have worked hard to get to $15 an hour, and now that's just the mandatory? What do you pay them? And then at what point do you keep spending the business people's money? He uses his little quote in the column here. What do you think that's doing?
Yeah. Well, I think that's with a lot of plans, and I think a lot of ideas, the reality is it has a ripple effect in other areas that maybe you don't expect, you know, on small business, on individuals. So, well, if I can make more, I don't need to improve myself from an education standpoint. I don't need to learn a trade or anything. If you want to improve yourself.
If you want to get behind the swag thing, get behind the ag program that will help people become electricians and engineers. I mean, that's the bullet to this. It's not just, you know, upping the minimum wage. I mean, that's just like zero expectation level of people.
Yeah, and if that's all you have to look forward to is hoping that the minimum wage will increase and your life then will be much greater, you know, you need to make your life much greater by seeing those things that can really, truly make it greater.
Yep.
And increasing the minimum wage will not do that.
No, it won't. And you're never going to increase it enough to live a life where you raise a family.
Yeah, and I would agree. You know, those who are trying to struggle on minimum wage, as it is now,
Let's spend the money on getting the skill set that they need to go to that next level. It's not. This isn't a compassionate thing where I'm just saying people should be poor. I'm saying why don't we figure out how to get people away from a minimum wage life and into a career where they can make a decent living.
You don't go to the next level based on what politicians can do for you. You go to the next level by seeing the opportunities that you have. We should make those opportunities available for them to help themselves.
Absolutely. All right. So no big surprise. District 61, they've got their race is way different than the last race.
Yeah.
Last race was nothing but buzz because you had a couple of really unpopular literally members of that board that had fired there was that whole firestorm, right? And it's been pretty quiet this time around.
Yeah, in fact, back at the last school board election, you had more buzz about it than you did the council election.
You did.
You really did. And so,
Has there been a more humiliating defeat of incumbents than that in your recent memory?
Probably not.
I mean, by the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, Dan Calkins lost barely. After some unpopular years on the city council. But they were soundly. I was staggered by the final number. Even though I expected them to lose, I didn't think it would be as bad as it was.
Well, to be such high-profile incumbents, too.
They didn't get enough votes combined for one of them to get reelected.
Yeah, and that was a surprise because I talked with them and that, and they put a lot of the issues out there that they believed in, that they fought for and that. So they weren't backward about doing that. Those incumbents, you know, they fought to get reelected, and the people spoke. But they had some challengers, too, that were very aggressive and certainly very focused on what needed to happen and what needed to change. And I think they did a good job of presenting that to the people.
I just think it was one of those study cases where you live in a bubble and you think you're in touch with what the people think, but you don't.
That happens a lot. Whether it's this case or not, I don't know. But I think you get elected to an office, whether it's city council or nationally, we know that's true. All of a sudden, your world becomes that bubble you live in, and it's competing and arguing and debating with the other members of that board or your party or what, and you lose sight of why you were sent there in the first place.
Happens a lot. It really does. Yeah. Mayor, always a pleasure. Sorry you had to get out early on this very cold day. And folks, no delivery today. You'll get your Tribune tomorrow. Relax. Go to DecaturTribune.com. Not Paul's fault that the United States Postal Service is shut down for the day. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Next hour, we got a lot to get to. Sue Powell will be stopping by from the Decatur Area Arts Council. We'll do our Valentine's Day gift of the day. Tanya Andrix is going to join us from Crossing. We'll get an update on the campus over there that's being built and find out how she liked group fight yesterday at the YMCA. Taking a break for the top of the hour news. You're listening to Byers & Company on News Talk 1340, WSOY, 103.3 FM, and streaming live at Nottingham.